Thank you. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to introduce my talk is the impact of Cura Clover, the impact of a Cura Clover living mulch on nitrous oxide emissions in a corn soybean system. So first, I'd like to acknowledge funding generously provided by the USDA ARS and field support by Bill Breiter, Mike Dolan, Joel Fassbinder, and Cody Winker. So this figure is from the U.S. Department of State's Climate Action Report. This is a bottom-up emission inventory where they estimated that about 74% of the U.S. anthropogenic nitrous oxide budget is linked to agriculture. Depending on which emission inventory you look at, this seems to range between 60 and 80%. So this places tremendous pressure on farmers to reduce emissions while simultaneously increasing yields. This is commonly approached by altering traditional nitrogen management techniques. That includes optimizing the timing, source, and depth of fertilizer application, and then alternative tillage techniques. The easiest, the most efficient way to reduce nitrous oxide emissions is usually just to reduce your reactive nitrogen inputs, but because this is so closely tied to farmers' yields, it's unrealistic. It's an unrealistic expectation to place on farmers. So to get around that, some people will use optimize a legume nitrogen credit from soybeans or from cover crops. We wanted to take that nitrogen credit a step further and look at living mulch or a green manure. So this is a Cura Clover. It is a perennial legume. It grows side by side year round with the commodity crop. Cura Clover is offers a number of positive benefits to the farmer and the community at large. That includes a reduced soil erosion, increased soil organic matter, reduced nitrate losses, and improved pest resilience. However, the nitrous oxide impact from cover crops and living mulches and just legumes in general is poorly understood because there's not that many studies out there. And there's also this growing belief that farmers will begin to play a more important role in climate change mitigation, but to fully realize that role, we need to understand the greenhouse gas budgets of alternative tillage techniques, alternative management. So with that in mind, our objectives were to quantify the long-term N2O budget from a Cura Clover living mulch to determine the effect of Cura on nitrous oxide emissions. And we hypothesized that by increasing our reliance on biological nitrogen fixation by the Cura, we would be able to reduce direct nitrogen inputs that would at the same time maintain yields while reducing nitrous oxide emissions relative to the conventional or control treatment. And this the conventional treatment had no Cura in it. So with that in mind, the Cura plots received 55% less nitrogen than the conventional plots just so we could really rely on that biological nitrogen fixation. So this is the field, an aerial photo to the left, and a field photo on the right. This experiment took place about 25 miles south of here in Rosemount, Minnesota. The Cura was established vegetatively in 2010 with the intent of looking at corn soybean production in a Cura Clover living mulch system and a conventional system. There were four treatments in the field. We were interested in our chambers, as you can see here in the aerial photo. They were planted in an irrigated Cura plot and a conventional plot, and you can see very direct lines between the two. The field was strip-tilled in the spring before planting. Mowing was done after planting, but always before emergence. This was a way to minimize competition with the cash crop and the Cura in the early season, and then pest control was accomplished using Roundup application, and this suppressed the Cura but did not kill it, also as an additional minimizing the competition between the two crops. So our nitrous oxide fluxes were measured using long-term automated soil chambers. These remained in the field for nearly year-round. Each chamber would close for 7 minutes at a time on one-hour intervals, so we'd get 24 measurements from each chamber a day. There were four chambers in each plot, so a total of eight chambers running at a time. The headspace air was pulled in into a Teledyne gas analyzer, which is located between the two treatments. The If I rewind for a second, the chambers were powered by a data logger running a multiplexer and two sets of solenoids. So once the air came into the Teledyne gas analyzer, we could calculate the flux as this equation, where the DC DT was calculated as from a 90-second window that was about 2 minutes after chamber closure. This allowed for the lines to clear out and for to minimize any effects of curvilinearity from a suppression gradient from forming. If there was any fluxes with an R squared below 0.8, they were discarded, and any measurements that were missing due to a low R squared value, a instrument failure, or field operations were gap filled using the MATLAB spline function. So this allowed us to take 222 days and 188 consecutive days in 2013 and 2014 respectively. Our emission results from corn the first year, there was a marginal difference between the two treatments. Cura emitted 14% more at the end of the year, which is an interesting result considering there's 55% less reactive nitrogen applied. There was a marked seasonality and timing that we were able to resolve using these automated chambers, that following spring thaw, the pulse from the conventional treatment was much larger, about 11% greater, not a significant difference, but we attribute that to possible changes in the soil microclimate with the additional cura on the surface. We had lower temperatures, daily average temperatures were lower in the cura, daily high temperatures were lower in the cura, so this allowed for maybe more of a gradual warming where the conventional warmed very quickly. And then also there was the effect of nitrogen scavenging. So we had an earlier speaker in this session that showed a nitrate or a nitrogen reduction always in the spring. So this could be attributed to why we have lower emissions in the cura in the spring, just because there's less residual soil nitrogen to be consumed. Once field activity began, emissions ended up being 37% greater in the cura. Because all of our field activities took place over about a 20-day window, and there's uncertain lags between each activity and the emission response, it's difficult to really identify what activity caused which, caused this large burst. Although it probably had something to do with the reactive nitrogen starter that was applied, the strip tillage in the cura may have contributed to mineralization. The mowing, at this point, the cura was growing quickly. It was green. It was thick. That when it was mowed, that biomass was deposited on the soil, so that may have been mineralized. And then there was also spraying that occurred. And although this was only meant to kill, it was meant to suppress. There's the chance that there may have been some mineralization in response to that. And then at the end of the year, the cura was actually 1.5-fold greater, significantly greater than the conventional during this period, which we attribute this also to the mineralization of below-ground biomass, something that you see in legumes. But this late in the season, there's usually few measurements out here. Moving forward to the soybean year, we actually see a very stark difference between the soybean and the corn year. Once again, the fluxes were only marginally different, although the cura treatment was 28% emitted 28% more nitrous oxide. But what you see here is that there's the control emitted much more nitrous oxide at the beginning of the year, and then remained low, while the cura emitted very little at the beginning and much more at the end. And there was no additional nitrogen added to the soybeans this year. So at the beginning of the year, following the spring thaw, we saw about 1.7-fold greater nitrous oxide emissions. We attribute this to similar things. The soil microclimate, the soils were a little bit cooler in the cura this year, just as they were in the year prior. So this was more of a gradual warming. And then there was the effect of nitrogen scavenging from the year prior, which while the conventional was fallow, the cura was acting as a biological sink continuously. At the end of the year, we found that cura emissions really bumped up. This final pulse was about 36% of the total annual cura budget, which is, I mean, it's amazing to see about a third of our nitrous oxide lost at the very end of the season, right before, you know, soils start to freeze. And we also attribute this to cure mineralization. So all of that nitrogen that we're, you know, storing in that biomass is being mineralized towards the end of the year. So what we found was that our data does not support our hypothesis that Cura could be used to mitigate nitrous oxide emissions under even a low nitrogen application. But this is only, we only focused on the direct emissions. We did not focus on the indirect emissions, and since Cura has been shown to reduce nitrate leaching, that's less nitrogen that's going to be entering streams and rivers that may be emitted indirectly through groundwater, rivers, or downstream all the way to estuaries. So since these emissions can be quite large, that may be enough to offset or at least balance this budget. And then this also points out that the Cura late season emissions strongly outweigh any beneficial early season savings. So it's very important that we keep that in mind, that just because we see less at the beginning, it comes out later in the year. And then that late season measurements in legume systems like Cura clover or soybeans are necessary to accurately constrain annual emission budgets, just because in the soybean year, we lost 36% of our nitrous oxide budget was at the very end in the last about 2 weeks. So with that, questions?
Thank you, buddy.
We had a total of 8 chambers running, 4 in each plot.
And would you have been able to run it over the winter?
We had tried that in the past. These Lycor chambers are very low and not very, they pivot, so they're not very powerful in the snow. So once you get any drifting, they just kind of stop. Mm-hmm. So that was that's something that had been tried in the past with past experiments. Near Rosemount, and it didn't work very well. But the final year we did this was it was 2015, although instruments went down catastrophically at the beginning of the season. We did catch that initial burst, but we didn't include that data here. But they were left out through the winter to catch that large spring burst.
How did the yields?
Well, that's a great question. So I don't have the exact figures in front of me, what the yields turned out to be, but from what I've been told, they were not significantly different.
So you could apply less nitrogen to Cura in the future.
That's true. That's true. I mean, this future work is really going to have to nail down how this functions in different landscapes, different soils, different climates, and kind of at what nitrogen rates are most appropriate to balance these out.
Any more questions? We still have time for questions.
Did you have a big fertilizer use event?
No, that's actually something that was, I think if I go back to the corn year, we really don't see a large event from the we fertigated. So we did not see a large event from that.
Because I would expect the Cura clover to be more effective at that.
Well, that's the next step is really looking into each one of these individual events to look at the timings between when we see an emission response and how to attribute that to a certain activity. So we did, yeah, like I said, we did not see a large pulse there like we had expected to see.
Thank you very much.
Yep.